and welcome to episode 152 of the Final Siren podcast. Don't touch your dial, it's true, we've managed to make it back-to-back installments. The Coates Talent League returned this week and there's plenty to dissect from a bumper 8 games in round 1. And of course, the Sample Under-18s also commenced with a shock upset and thriller at Noarlunga. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and as always, I'm joined by Rookie Me Central AFL Draft Editor, Michael Alvaro. Michael, how's things?
Not too bad. Pretty excited to have footy back, at least for the boys' pathways. And yeah, there were some really good performances over the weekend, a few scrappy starts, but for the most part, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, speaking of some scrappy starts, we're going to get stuck straight into the Talent League Round 1. And the Northern Knights, who couldn't hit the side of a barn door, kicked 5-19-49 to defeat the Giants Academy 6-6-42. Then we had the Sandy Dragons in a thriller over the Eastern Rangers at RSEA Park. They won 12-13-85 against the Rangers 10-11-71. We had the Swans Academy get up over the Western Jets. That was 13-17-95 to 10-7-67. The GWV Rebels up in Ballarat defeated the Bendigo Pioneers 11-10-76 to 9-6-60. Then down the highway, down south over in Warm Ponds, Geelong Falcons defeated Dandenong Stingrays to reverse the result from the girls' game, 13-8-87 to 8-9-57. A bit of an upset there. Oakley Chargers 14-17-101 defeated the Lions Academy 7-12-54 in one of the more lopsided contests of the weekend. Then we had Gippsland Power out at Morwell winning 14-10-94 defeating the Murray Bush Rangers 8-9-57, kicking away in the second half. And then to round out the first weekend of action, Calder Cannons 8-9-57 defeated the Suns Academy 5-7-37. So, plenty to digest there, Michael. After round one, what did you learn?
Yeah, firstly, just well done for getting through all those 8 games. I know there was a lot there, so good on you. Got out to most of these. Of course, 2 triple headers at Highgate Recreation Reserve was where I was at, and Pete, you were out and about too. And there was some scrappy starts. You mentioned off the bat, Northern Knights 5-19 in a winning effort there. Wasn't pretty to watch at times, but they still got the job done. And I think just the fundamentals and just a few of the skills from some teams wasn't quite at the level. That's not to say they didn't perform well and that players didn't go well, but even particularly from the Northern Academies, even though, of course, the Swans got up against the Jets, they probably just were finding their feet when it came to the speed of the game and the skill level, and that was seen across the board. Another thing I learned, in terms of the premiership race, is that Sandy and Eastern are going to be right up there. I mean, it's probably not learnt, given we predicted that they'd be there last week. But, Oakley and Gippsland as well, they're another couple to watch. And lastly, just in terms of the draft class as a whole, it's looking like those talls may outclass the mids. There's probably not the same depth of midfielders as usual, outside of, you know, your Harley Reeds and Zane Dersmer and some of the superstars right at the top of the order. So we're going to have some really exciting talls to watch, but there's a long way to go. And last year we said the talls were going to be good in that draft and didn't quite turn out that way, but we'll see how we go.
Yeah, well, hopefully you're right this year. Moving on, game of the round. I think it's pretty easy based on what you sort of summarised there. I was there at RSEA Park, but Sandringham versus Eastern, what did you make of it?
Yeah, having watched back, of course, via the delight of streams. It was a great game. I mean, you know, to and fro, and both teams sort of had their own momentum and got in front, and it was quite even pretty much until the last, the dying minutes there. And yeah, impressive skill level. Obviously, there's a lot of prospects to watch on both sides. Sandringham seems to produce, you know, almost double-digit draftees every year, and that's going to be pretty much the same again this year. And Eastern, they've got that top-end talent like Nick Watson, even Josh Smilly for next year to go with the usually even squad that they have. So despite the loss, first up, they're going to be a contender, as we sort of touched on off the top. And I was pretty impressed in terms of skill level and fundamentals and things like that. That was probably the game to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, being there live, it was quite exciting. And it was, even though I went into the game expecting Sandringham to win, it really was anyone's game, and the Dragons kicked away at the end, which was a case of a few games across the weekend. So the class just sort of rose when it counted. And naturally, everyone's going to be a bit rusty, but the quality shines through. So one of the players out of that game is Tasmanian Riley Sanders, who, of course, we know last year came across the ditch to ultimately take up a spot. Ditch? Yeah, well, close enough. It's a little ditch. It's not the full ditch. A bit of a mini ditch, if you like. A straight, cross a straight. But yeah, he came across there to, obviously private school, run out with Sandy. His brother came across, Ollie. On the weekend, he was one of the more prolific ball winners, obviously a top ball winner in that match for his team. So what did you make of his performance? Where do you sort of see him panning out throughout the year?
Yeah, well, we'll touch on his strengths first. I think that obviously he had a good game. You know, when you're the leading ball winner for your side in a high quality match, then you've probably done pretty well. And his strengths are on the inside. And he's going to allow a lot of players to shine this year, whether that be for the Dragons at school footy or with the Allies. He's super clean on the inside. We saw him have 23 handballs from 28 touches. So just goes to show, I guess, how good he is at extracting the ball and getting it out really quickly. I think that's what was most impressive. He's working on his outside game and began to sort of create some overlap run, get to the outside. His work rate's pretty sound, but as we'll touch on perhaps with some of his improvement areas, it's sort of being expansive with the ball and beginning to hurt the opposition, where he'll have to sort of sharpen up and become a little more dangerous. But overall, I mean, 28 touches and a goal, fair effort to start the season. He's obviously going to be one to watch as a National Academy member as well.
Well, if he's a guy who likes to look at efficiencies, everyone knows your efficiency is going to be higher if you're handballing more than kicking. So smart man there. But nonetheless, clearly he's got some improvements to go. I know you just touched on them, but what are some of the areas that he can still further improve?
It's just, I guess, a matter of shifting gears. I think in general, in terms of AFL draft prospects, a lot of recruiters and clubs are shifting away from those specialist midfielders. So Riley, even speaking to him during preseason, said that perhaps he's going to have to show some versatility and some points of difference in his game. So he even rolled forward. I think just getting out of the contest, trying to find another spot where he can thrive and find the footy, is going to help him a lot, especially just in terms of his overall draft chances. Obviously, you know, he sort of doesn't have that same explosiveness as perhaps some other powerful mids do, and we saw a lot of them last year. But in terms of his strengths, that ball winning ability, as I keep harping on about, those clean hands, his footy IQ, the way you can play a selfless role, they're all important. And if he performs consistently enough, he's obviously going to get looked at, and he already has been looked at. So, he would, you know, continue to put up performances like he did on the weekend, and hopefully he can show out in perhaps a few different roles as well.
Yeah, and of course, it would be remiss not to mention Indy Kirk as our player of the week. Clearly, most people who know him, Brett's son. So still father-son eligible there, as well as academy eligible. Overager, but I know you really liked his performance. You thought he'd taken another step up from his top age year last year. So what was it that really stood out for you?
Thanks, Pete. I want to delve into the hearts and what... No, I'll stop with that. But look, Indy, yeah, as you say, has sort of taken that next step, I think, as an overager. He was overlooked. Played a lot last year on the wing and at half forward. And you can see, you know, as a sort of 179 centimetre midfielder, someone who's nifty and works really hard, those two positions probably suit him. But he played on the inside this time out and was really impressive. Leon Cameron, of course, one of the directors of the Swans Academy, alluded to that before the game, speaking to him. And Indy was super impressive. I mean, you think of Brett Kirk, and it's, you know, that tough inside midfielder who can tag and just works hard all day. Indy's got that sort of toughness. You know, he's pretty rigid himself, albeit small, but he was really classy too with his kicking, which was a bit of a surprise. Just super clean. He kicked it 22 out of 28 times when you're looking at his disposals, and went inside 50 11 times. Now, I think with him, his kick penetration probably isn't there. He had two or three set shots from about 45 metres where they all fell short. but he's usually pretty accurate. And you can see we uploaded a few highlights of his game to Twitter and Instagram if you want to go have a look at them while you're listening to this podcast. He's certainly classy, got great decision making. I think if he can continue to showcase those natural traits, you know, like you could even put him above guys like Caden Cleary and Lockie Kabor in that Swan side, even though they have the athletic traits, you know, the excitement with their explosiveness and whatnot. Indy Kirk's a more natural footballer, and he definitely showed that on the weekend.
Yeah, there you go. So Michael's rating, the father-son ahead of the academy prospects. So
no, not quite yet. He's played one game. There's a ways to go, but promising signs for sure. Yeah.
Lucky that bike has backpedaling there. Moving on, we're going to take a look at some of the bottom ages who caught your attention across the weekend as a whole, particularly a side we know well at developing talent in the Oakley Chargers. So give us a rundown into those players and a Sandy father-son prospect as well.
Yeah, I'm still doing Jai Bond favours, even though he's not at the Chargers anymore, but they're pretty much impossible not to cover, you know, with all the talent that they have. And their midfield is essentially dominated by bottom ages. Of course, they've got Will Lorenz in there, Kynan Brown, you know, even Luke Till ran through there on the weekend. But the guys who dominated and their top ball winners were Jagger Smith, who had 28 touches, kicked a goal, and Tom Gross as well, who rotated forward. He had 27 disposals. There's also Finn O'Sullivan, who, of course, took out the Kevin Sheehan medal at last year's Under-16 Championships as the best and fairest in the overall carnival. So they're all super talented players. And really, through the middle of the ground, the way that Oakley shifted into its attacking phases was largely through them. They had that really classy run and carry. They wanted the ball and they used it pretty well. I think, you know, obviously they take the game on and they look for those perhaps lower percentage passes. But as bottom ages, their skill level is outstanding. And I think they're getting better and better each year. We saw how good Harley Reid was last year as a bottom ager. These guys are going to have such accomplished bottom age campaigns that by the time they hit their draft year, they're going to be pretty exciting. And speaking of course, as you alluded to, Levi Ashcroft was pretty handy in Sandy's win as well. He's gone really, really nicely, playing a lot more permanently through midfield for the Dragons. So, I mean, yeah, it would be remiss not to mention him. He's a gun. And if we're talking about bottom ages, then, yeah, he's right up there with his fellow Vic Metro teammates there.
Yeah, no, there's quite a lot to like about next year, even though we're only really getting started on this year. Looking forward to round two, because, of course, there's another 8 games to buckle up for, and 6, of course, being played on Saturday. We love when they clash. Tasmania enters the fray. They're taking on Western Jets, of course. Which game are you most looking forward to, though?
I'm looking forward to seeing how Geelong goes against Oakley. Obviously, the Chargers were probably the most impressive side in round one, maybe barring Sandringham, but they had a quality opposition in Eastern. But when you look at scoring, you know, they're the only team to trickle into triple figures, and the way they move the ball is really exciting. So if they can continue to take the game on, they'll really pose some problems for Geelong, who had a really good win in round one. So it's going to be interesting to see whether they can carry that on against another strong side in Oakley. I'm looking forward to seeing how they go. Obviously, it's out at Deakin University on the Saturday. So if you're out local, maybe drop in and have a look. Out in Warren Ponds. So I am quite familiar with that venue. So we'll see how it goes. I think that'll be one of the games to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure. I am seeing we've got a huge Warren Ponds viewership here, or listenership, I should
God's
say.
God's country out there.
Yeah. All right. Moving on from that, obviously, we're going to head over to South Australia. And the Sample Under-18 season kicked off on Saturday. A few less results for me to run through, so I should be right with
goodness.
This one. Central District 12-8-80 defeated Glenelg 10-8-68. And for those who are familiar with the Under-18s, obviously the lists change, but the Wooden Spooners from last year beat the Premiers. So quite a big win there. A nice close one too. Woodville West Torrens 18-7-115 smashed West Adelaide 5-7-37. Then Sturt got up over North Adelaide 13-12-90 to 7-9-51. And rounding out the action, which I know Michael will touch on, South Adelaide, the Panthers, 8-6-54, defeated Norwood 8.755.
They went down to Norwood, actually. I've stitched you up there in the program, but that's all right. I'll pick up from there because that was our game of the round, Pete. And yeah, you're right. It was a thriller, 1-point game, and very, very nearly won by a couple of stars in South Adelaide uniforms. Of course, Jack DeLeon and Sid Draper. They were two of the best for the losers, essentially. And Draper through midfield, of course, is the brother of Arlo, who's at Collingwood. He had 18 touches and kicked a pretty well-timed volley in the goal square to bring the margin back to that 1 point. That goal was assisted by DeLeon, who just a minute earlier had taken a specky and kicked his own goal. So he managed to boot two for the day. They were pretty impressive, as I said, on the losing side. Phoenix Hargrave worked hard as well, with 19 touches and a goal. And for Norwood, Jacob Newton, they've got a few pocket rockets through that midfield. He's one of them, Newton, a left footer, had 26 touches and 5 clearances, was pretty handy in the greasy conditions. Will Rowlands as well showed some signs with 17 touches and a goal. And of course, National Academy member Orlando Turner. He's got a bit about him. The numbers don't jump off the page, 9 touches and a goal, but he's got some speed. He takes the game on. He can mark pretty high. Yeah, just sort of lack that finishing touch at times, but he'll be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, always good to see some of the South Australian performing, seeing exactly what they can do. Some good top age talent there, of course. And speaking of that, across the league as well, not just in that game, I know you mentioned a few from that match, but in some of the other results that I did get right, who were some of the top performers?
Yes, obviously in that Central's win over Glenelg, we saw Sebastian Warrior. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He filled his boots with 30 touches and 2 goals in a winning side, so pretty impressive numbers from him. Of course, we see Trent Totoli with 25 touches and a goal for himself. He's an accumulator. He's going to pretty much do that all year. Will McCabe as well, of course, a father-son prospect out of Central's for Hawthorn. He kicked 2 goals, so he's one to watch. Glenelg, they have their usual performers, probably headlined, of course, by Ashton Moyer, who kicked 4 goals, 3 from 18 touches and 10 marks. A great start for him. Hopefully he can play some senior footy as the year goes on. We saw the Campriali twins, of course, another father-son pair for next year for Carlton, Ben and Lucas. They found plenty of the ball, and Ben Ridgeway, I believe, led the disposal count, leading that base side with 23. I mean, sort of know what to expect from him. I'll touch on the other game as well, of course, which saw Westies and Woodville West Torrens, I guess a battle of the West of sorts, go against each other. Rome Burgoyne, the son of Peter, he's the third brother coming through that family. He picked up 27 disposals to lead all comers, of course, playing against cousin Kai for Westies. And Kay McAuliffe warrants a mention as well. He played in a losing effort for North Adelaide, but was pretty handy through midfield, a really solid mover with 28 touches. So, yeah, it's good that there's a lot of talent sort of filtering through the Sandfall under-18s earlier in the year. They'll, of course, play a bit of college football and champs, but I guess we've got them while they're hot at the moment.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about this, because obviously aside from that, you've got all the National Academy members out and about playing in the Coates Talent League, as we sort of touched on. So you've got plenty of the draft prospects to check out, no matter what state you're in. So exciting times, and of course the other states will be joining them shortly. So something to keep an eye on. Anyway, that's all we've got for this week. So Final Siren Podcast, episode 2 for this season, done and dusted. Michael, thanks for joining me again.
Pleasure as always. Looking forward to seeing what all these players can produce next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we'll have all our regular previews, reviews, scouting notes, and much more on Rookie Me Central. Make sure you subscribe to us on your favourite podcast platform for all the latest episodes, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Rookie Me Central. Thanks for joining us today, and we hope you tune again next week.